welcome to the Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore. It is Tuesday, March the 26th, 2024. On this edition of the Politocrat, journalistic ethics and the corporate news media in the US, plus a look at some of the news that has taken place over the last few days. That coming up next.
Say as you sit here today, did Joe Biden win the election fair and square?
He won. He's the legitimate president. Fair and square, he won. It's certified. It's done. But I do think, Kristen, let me just say something.
Why has it taken you until now to be able to say that?
I'm going to push back a little because I do think it's fair to say there were problems in 2020. And to say that does not mean he's not the legitimate president.
But, Rana, when you say that, it suggests that there was something wrong with the election. And you know that the election was the most heavily scrutinized. Chris Krebs said it was the most secure election in modern history.
Let me deal with the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
I think our bosses owe you an apology for putting you in this situation, because I don't know what to believe. She is now a paid contributor by NBC News. So I have no idea whether any answer she gave to you was because she didn't want to mess up her contract. She wants us to believe that she was speaking for the RNC when the RNC was paying for her. So she has credibility issues that she still has to deal with.
Yeah.
Is she speaking for herself or is she speaking on behalf of who's paying her? Once at the RNC, she did say that, hey, I'm speaking for the party. I get that. That's part of the job. So what about here?
Well, what about here, Chuck? What about here? I mean, what about it? Good day to you, dear listener. And welcome to this brand new edition of the Politocrat Daily Podcast. Omar Moore here on a Tuesday. Yes, it is Tuesday, March the 26th, 2024. You just heard those two audio pieces. First, from Kristen Welker on Meet the Press earlier this week on Sunday on NBC, talking to Rana McDaniel. And of course, you know who she is. She, of course, was the former chair of the RNC, the Republican National Committee. She also is related to Mitt Romney. And look, the bottom line is that... Dear, oh dear. You know, the bottom line is that this episode is going to be about journalistic ethics. And that second clip you heard was Chuck Todd, the former host of Meet the Press, speaking to the present host of Meet the Press, Kristen Welker, also this past Sunday, talking about Rana McDaniel, who, by the way, has become a paid contributor to NBC News. She is one of their team now. This is someone who, just a few months ago, if not less than that, resigned from the RNC or was booted out of there, basically, by the orange fascist, who has now taken over the RNC, has put his, daughter-in-law in there, Laura, in there, and other people connected to her in there and connected to him in there. And what you have, dear listener, I'm going to get straight into this now, and I do hope you are well. What you have, dear listener, now in the United States corporate news media is the media talking to each other. Now, you've had that for a long time, I think. But when the media stops talking to you and starts talking to itself and starts navel-gazing, then you know that any notion of credible journalism is well and truly in trouble. I think the last time that the US corporate news media actually spoke to you and I was probably sometime in the late 1980s into the early 90s. What I think has happened since then is that the corporate news media in the United States is talking at us, or, and, because you can have both of these, talking to itself. And when I say talking to itself, what do I mean? I mean, you have six people around the table, or sometimes on other networks other than NBC, eight people around the table, all talking and punditry and kibitzing and whatever the heck it is, and they're all talking to each other. And we're watching that spectacle unfold. We are watching a table of eight people, a table of 10 people, or if you're someone that watches Fox so-called news, a table of five people, the five, sitting around and talking to each other. We are watching an entertainment spectacle. We are watching an entertainment spectacle. Very rarely are we really learning about issues that affect us, everyday issues that affect you and affect me and affect us. Turn on any news broadcast now and you won't find that the media, corporate news media, is talking to you. You won't. And that gets me to the next point that I want to make. Reporting. And the whole notion of journalism now, in light of the two clips you've just heard. Ronald McDaniel was hired by NBC News. I don't know why, but I think I have a very educated guess as to why. The reason I think that NBC News hired Ronald McDaniel, a Republican, who, by the way, can I just add this, dear listener, is an election denier, was an election denier, despite what you heard in that clip. For months and months and months after November of 2020, she played an active role, a very active role, in the election result denying campaign, really the insurrectionist campaign, that said that these results didn't happen, that Joe Biden supposedly was not the winner, and we all know that he was. Ronald McDaniel played an active role in that, involved with fake electors and getting involved in that. I don't know why on earth she wasn't in charge of anything. She was, I think, part of the investigation. She was being investigated, I think, at one point. I mean, this person is somebody who you wouldn't go 10 miles of. You wouldn't go within 10 miles of her. But this is someone who should not be hired by any network that respects journalism. Any network worth its salt, its due diligence, would not be hiring a Ronald McDaniel. Just would not be happening. Not in the slightest. But NBC did this, in my view, because of two things. Ratings, number one. They know that people are going to tune in to see some crackpot who was an election denier. And two, they want to have her in place because perhaps they might think, or they do think, that that orange traitor just might pull it off this November. It's what I would call appeasement. It's what I've heard Timothy Snyder, the professor who has written such books as On Tyranny, which I strongly recommend you read, also calls appeasement. I think the corporate news media is really afraid of this orange donut. I really do, this orange traitor. I really think that they are afraid of him. They want him. I think they court him. They talk about him every day. You can't go 10 minutes on MSNBC, for example, without hearing something about him during any given moment of any given day. Early morning, morning, noon, afternoon, night. You cannot go 10 minutes without hearing about him. That's not that I sit there and watch MSNBC every day or every minute or even every hour or two. I know that's the case. When I used to watch it, that's what they were doing. And I don't believe that that's really changed very much. If you go turn on any of these networks, the same applies. And I think that the corporate news media wants him for their bottom line. The network bosses made these hiring decisions. They want the controversy. They want the ratings, they want the revenue, the ad money. They're looking at their bottom line. And they want to bow down to an orange dictator. And as Timothy Snyder said, what they don't realize is that it doesn't matter what you do for him. If he ever got back into power, he would run roughshod all over them. And I agree with that, by the way. I'm paraphrasing his words. But the reason I think, again, that MSNBC and NBC talk about him and all these other networks talk about him is because, again, they want ratings. They want fealty. They want someone who, you know, they want access more than anything, really, as well as the money and the advertising. And they want the clicks. We are in a click-based society now where it's all about clicks. It's all about likes. It's all about retweets, reposts. It's all about loves. It's all about, that's what this is now. It's about feelings. And feelings are good. Don't get me wrong. Feelings are very important. We must express them, dear listener. But what you have now is facts being dissolved into feelings. And when you make these kinds of hires, as NBC News has done, you are eradicating any pretense that you care about facts. I remember a long time ago, there would be very credible, trustworthy journalists and commentators, even back years ago, commentators on the news who you could trust. You could trust them because they would give you facts and figures, and they would give you history, and they would give you knowledge of events past and present. They may be from one political party or another, but really the political party is not the problem. I mean, it's obviously the issue, but it's not the biggest issue. This is basically centered to one thing, facts. And if we've already started from a place where we can't accept facts, we're in trouble. We've been in trouble. We are in trouble. And when you hire NBC News, a Ronna McDaniel, who lied, who engaged in all this garbage around the 2020 presidential election, when you don't push back Kristen Welker on a liar named Elise Stefanik from the Republican Party, the Republican congresswoman out of New York, when you don't push back on her lie, when she says the January 6th terrorists were hostages, and you sit there on your own show as the host of it, Kristen Welker, and you don't push back on that, you don't say that that's not true, you've already accepted lies over the truth. You've already accepted lies over facts. You've already accepted feelings over facts. And that's where your news enterprise is in trouble. That's where your journalism is in trouble. So really, those are the basic points that I wish to make, dear listener, is that you cannot possibly have journalism that is credible when the spectacle and the focus are about people arguing about a decision that a news media organization's head honchos have made. That, to me, is not news. Now, you might think it's news, and it might be a good debate to have. But for the general public, generally speaking, when we're talking about all the issues that are on the table this November for the election, I'm going to talk about voting in the next block, and I'm also going to continue to talk about this issue. But when you talk about these things, when you have all these issues on the table, healthcare, when you have all these issues on the table, student debt, the issues on the table, immigration, the issues on the table, equal pay, when you have issues on the table, the environment, what's going on all over the world, when you have issues on the table, infrastructure, there was a bridge this morning that collapsed overnight, collapsed in Baltimore. Collapsed, literally the whole blooming bridge collapsed in the middle of the night. Infrastructure, you have all these issues. And this president's done a lot about that, don't get me wrong. But we've had an issue with a bridge this morning in Baltimore, Maryland, here in the United States, that completely collapsed. These videos of it collapsing are all over social media. And earlier today, when I got up, that's what I woke up to. These pictures of people, and I do hope that people didn't lose their lives in this. You know, it's just a horrible situation. Horrible. These are the issues out here. And you've got some network squabbling and arguing about a hire that it should never have made. And to me, that's part of the spectacle. Having Chuck Todd say to Kristen Welker, "Oh, I'm so sorry that your network bosses put you in this position." Come on, this was all scripted. And the network bosses knew it would be. This is all a spectacle for ratings, as far as I'm concerned. And I think it's a very dangerous thing. As I said, when you have people in the media who should be doing some really good reporting, sitting around a Sunday talk show, just talking about some insular thing. Now, I'm not trivializing the issue of putting a liar like Runner McDaniel in the position she is in at NBC. I'm not trivializing that. But I'm taking a broader view, an overview, a broader look at really what I see happening here. This is not good. It's not good for the news. It's not good for reportage. And it's not good for journalism. And it's certainly not good for journalistic ethics. The ethics of a news organization that calls itself one, to hire someone who engages in lies and who engages in insurrection, basically, by pretending, and not just pretending, but outright saying that the election was stolen and helping that orange traitor in that furtherance of pushing that kind of view out there. That news organization no longer has credibility. As a matter of fact, the corporate news media now, which is already vastly mistrusted by the American public at large, has no credibility anymore. And when I come back, I'm going to be talking a bit more about that overview. I'm also going to be talking about what we can do about that. And I'm also going to be talking a bit more, well, I'm going to be talking about voting as well. I'll give you websites, one website in particular that I think will be very helpful to you. That is coming up right after this.
To this key question, do you still think it was a tragic day? Do you think that the people who stormed the Capitol should be held responsible to the full extent of the law?
I have concerns about the treatment of January 6 hostages. I have concerns. We have a role in Congress of oversight over our treatments of prisoners. And I believe that we're seeing the weaponization of the federal government against not just President Trump, but we're seeing it against conservatives. We're seeing it against Catholics. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so proud to serve on the Select Committee on the Weaponization of the Government, because the American people want answers. They want transparency. And they understand that as you look across this country, there seems to be two sets of rules. If your last name is Clinton or it's Biden, you get to live by a different set of rules than if you're an everyday patriotic American. I've been clear, Kristen, if you go back and play the full speech I gave on the House floor, I condemn the violence just like I condemn the violence of the BLM riots. But I also importantly stood for election integrity and security of our elections, which if we don't have that, we do not have a democracy. So the real threat to our democracy is these baseless witch hunt investigations and lawsuits against President Trump, whether it's Tish James or whether we see in the D.C. Circuit Court. And that is undemocratic, and it's shredding our Constitution. And you know who agrees with me, Kristen? The American people. That's why President Trump is winning in poll after poll against Joe Biden.
The Justice Department has indicted a number of top-name Democrats as well, including the president's son, twice. So, I mean, a lot of critics would argue that undercuts your argument. There are two systems of justice.
If you want to make that case, the American people are very smart. They know that they tried to give Hunter Biden a sweetheart deal. We've heard from multiple IRS.
He's been indicted twice, Congresswoman.
But it was because of a judge that threw out a sweetheart deal that was negotiated on Joe Biden's behalf. Joe Biden and the Department of Justice have been withheld from going after the Biden crime family, which Joe Biden sits atop of.
Other top Democrats have been indicted as well, but we have a lot to get to. So
you see that right there, dear listener, is the problem. What you just heard there, those last 2 minutes, is part of the problem. That was Kristen Welker on her own show, Meet the Press, back in January of this year, talking to the liar in the Republican Party. They're all liars, basically. I mean, it's not the liar, but she is one liar, a liar. Elise Stefanik, the congresswoman out of New York. That's the clip I was referring to earlier. And I just played it for you. You just heard it. She calls the January 6th, Elise Stefanik, calls the January 6th terrorists hostages. Did you hear anything at all from Kristen Welker? Did you hear an interruption from Kristen Welker, the host of her own show? Nope, you didn't hear anything. And then she proceeded to lie about President Biden. She kept calling the orange traitor president as if he were currently in that position, which he's not. It's very dangerous to invite people on like this and then not challenge them. It's bad enough that they're guests. You have many more of these guests on than you do Democrats. And this isn't about party. This is about journalistic ethics. That's what this is about. And the journalistic ethics of these organizations is failing, as you just heard in that clip. So many lies being told by Elise Stefanik. A different set of rules for Clinton and Biden versus, I mean, that's just a bunch of nonsense. I mean, if you look at yesterday, dear listener, who got more than half of a $460-odd million judgment cut in half? Who got more than half of that cut down? It was the orange traitor who Elise Stefanik and Ronna McDaniel defend. He had, what, a $454 million or $460-odd million judgment against him, won by the New York State Attorney General, Tish James. And a New York appeals court yesterday, dear listener, without offering any reason why, in its opinion, cut that judgment down from $454 million to $175 million. And gave him an extra, what, 30 days or 2 weeks to come up with that money. Now, if this is a so-called billionaire, dear listener, why would the New York State Appeals Court, why would New York's Appeals Court cut that judgment down? If this guy had the money, why would this court do that? Why would this court aid and abet him? There are not a different course of rules. There is not a different set of rules. That is my point to people like Elise Stefanik and liars like her who want to play this game on you, dear listener. To have you sit there and think that, oh my goodness me, there's a different rule for Biden and Clinton than there is for this orange traitor. Of course, Elise Stefanik would have you believe, and she pretends, that this orange traitor hasn't skated all his life in this system. This system has offered him parachutes, billions of dollars, Deutsche Bank. Go look into that. Go research Deutsche Bank and type his name up in there. And you tell me, they gave him billions of dollars over the years. Billions of dollars. He had all kinds of sweetheart deals. He had all kinds of parachute payments. He had all kinds of winks and nods from the corporate news media. The corporate news media gave him something like $3 billion of free advertising in 2015 and 16 for the campaign. They would have his empty podium in the large screen, and then in the small box that have Hillary Clinton's actual speech live with her there speaking, and that would be in the small box on your TV screen, your picture-in-picture, telling me, and you've got these people telling you and telling me about Biden and Clinton having advantages versus this orange traitor. And of course, you have people who are in a higher class in terms of their finances, yes. That's an issue of people having money versus people who don't. But don't sit there, Elise Stefanik, and lie and say that somehow Biden and Clinton are treated differently from this piece of garbage. I mean, Biden and the Democrats jump over each other trying to be fair to the point in which they got a Republican, Merrick Garland, in as the Attorney General, a Republican, Merrick Garland, who under Obama was tapped to be a Supreme Court justice, a Republican, Robert Hur, who was hired as a special investigator into Biden and the documents case. Remember when he was found to have had these documents in his garage? To the point in which Robert Hur, the Republican, who was appointed as the special investigator, wrote all these demeaning things about President Biden, about his age, about his speech, even as he concluded that Biden didn't do anything wrong. He spent most of that report writing about Biden not being able to put a sentence together or having a memory loss or is old. And it was Biden's folks who hired him to be the special investigator. And this guy's a Republican. This guy licks the boots of the orange dictator. So people like Elise Stefanik and Ronna McDaniel are just flat out liars. And it's TV networks like NBC and others who keep putting these people on the air and then have their hapless hosts try to be that journalist, or what I would now call faux, F-A-U-X, faux journalists, pseudo journalists, to pretend that they are even trying to do their jobs in the weight of all these lies that get thrown at them in a fusillade, playing live press conferences of the orange traitor and pathological liar. And then finally, after about 4 minutes of his lies, tuning away from the press conference, the lies conference, why even play it at all? That's what I'm talking about, the lack of journalistic ethics now. But dear listener, thank you very much indeed for listening and welcome back as I've been going on here about this. I'll be getting into voting. I'll be getting into what we can do in terms of the media. But the other thing is, this isn't just NBC that's the issue. It's all of these networks. We know how disgusting Fox is. We know how disgusting they are. They put liars on there every day and every week in every program. And they lie all day long. They don't pretend what they are about. The only thing they insult you with is that they call their network news, that word is even anywhere in their title. Now, don't get me wrong, there are some reporters at NBC News who do a very good job. Those folks who are in the field who actually do report and do a decent job. I'm talking about when you get inside these studios and you have these anchor desks and you have these pundit desks and you have these shows like Meet the Press that are no longer shows with any kind of journalistic ethics or credibility anymore. These are not the days of Tim Russert anymore. Tim Russert would have grilled this lot into the ground. He would have ground these people into the ground. These liars in the Republican Party, these right-wing fascists, wouldn't want to come on his show because he would grind them up. He really would. Have you ever seen Tim Russert question people on Meet the Press? He's no longer with us, unfortunately. You just go back to YouTube and go and watch Tim Russert. Last name R-U-S-S as in Sam, E-R-T as in Tom. Tim Russert, R-U-S-S-E-R-T. Go watch some of the old clips of Tim Russert when he would confront Republicans, confront Democrats, confront anyone. He was no joke. That is what you call journalism and due diligence. His research was second to none. He interrupted the guests regularly. He wouldn't let them get away with garbage. He had George W. Bush on there when in the height of the Iraq war. And he had Cheney on there. He grilled him. He stood up to him. And that's what you do. You hold power to account. And what you've got now on these networks is a load of people, some of them reporters sometimes, despite what I said a few moments ago, who do not hold power to account. And some of these reporters, particularly I think about the folks in the White House press corps, some of them are the worst and the laziest, despite what appears to be the case on the surface. Some of the questions they ask are the most lazy and reductive questions you can think of. And there are some good White House press corps reporters. I can name April Ryan among those. But a load of these people have become stenographers. Stenographers. Plain and simple. And we don't need that. We don't need press release reporters. We don't need those kinds of people in journalism. And that's not you, what you and I were taught in journalism school. We weren't taught that. We were taught to be fearless. We were taught to model ourselves after the likes of a Bernard Shaw or a Carol Simpson or a Dan Rather or a Walter Cronkite or a Harry Reasoner or an Ed Bradley or a Mike Wallace or a Barbara Walters. I may have mentioned her name earlier. I don't even remember now. Short-term memory. We were taught to be fearless in our advocacy journalistically. There are great independent investigative reporters out there, the Jane Mayers of the world, for example, the ProPublicas of the world. And I want you now to start looking into diversifying your media diet. And maybe you already do. But what I am concerned about, dear listener, is that this train in the corporate news media is not going to change. And as I did say in the previous block as well, more and more people distrust the corporate news media. And that does present a problem. Because people will then start to gravitate to the Fox Newses of the world and the YouTubes of the world, who have a load of people on them at times, who don't really say anything that's based in news. It's all opinion, opinion, opinion. And what we have, and look, this is a podcast that's got lots of opinion from yours truly on it, but I also do put news in and I do give you facts. I do give you information. I do quote where I'm getting the information from. And I do put links to these websites and pages where you can read this yourself. And I get it. Lots of people don't read. Lots of people don't have the time to. Lots of people can't. But we are now in a situation where the news media is a joke. It's not NBC alone. It's also like places like CNN. When last year you had Chris Licht, who was the CEO at the time, putting on basically a Klan rally for the Orange Dictator and having Caitlin Collins, who, of course, used to be at the Daily Caller, an arch right-wing conservative website, and have her interview, in quotes, the Orange Dictator before a crowd of all of his supporters. That is like bringing a freaking hen to a den of foxes, no pun intended, and having that hen try to moderate a discussion between all of the foxes in the arena. That won't end very well. And analogizing here, it didn't end very well for Caitlin Collins. She got talked down. She didn't have any grasp or control over the forum that she was supposed to be moderating. She didn't push back when this Orange Dictator continued to lie, as he does all the time, every time he moves his lips, and didn't confront him with the facts, proper facts, with the actual facts. Didn't hold up a graph, didn't put up a video with the facts on it, with clips of him lying his backside off to confront and impeach him with. And it became a disaster. And then within a few months, Don Lemon got fired of all people and Chris Licht left as a CEO. It's a disaster. And now what have you got for news on CNN? You've got people like Gail King and Charles Barkley, both of whom are not journalists that are not real journalists in my view. Both of whom don't have the grasp of news that people like Bernard Shaw once did. People like Carol Simpson once did. People like Ed Bradley once did. These are celebrities. Gail King, who does the CBS news in the morning, on that morning show that they do there. Gail King's not really, to me, a journalist. And I know she's Oprah's pal, and Oprah's got her here and there and everywhere. But Gail King, to me, is not a journalist. I don't particularly think she's a great interviewer either. Charles Barkley, forget it. He is a joke. He's an opinionator. He's a pontificator. He gets paid to say anything. Whatever comes out of his mouth is what he gets paid for. Doesn't matter what it is, whether it makes sense or whether it doesn't. And most of the time, it doesn't. So what you have, dear listener, and again, as I say, I just mentioned CBS, I've mentioned CNN, and I mentioned NBC earlier. You have these networks now who are going into celebrities and using celebrities to be journalists or putting them up there for the sake of ratings. And it's not good. And what you have now is a culture of opinionating. You've had that for years now. And so really, it's not about the news. It's about people. Really, you know, you'll mention the headline of the news, and then the rest of the broadcast will be all about what the people around the table think about that news. That's not news. That's opinionating and debating. And that, in a time like this, is not what we need in this country or any other. We need journalism, and we need people to give us facts and straight up facts. We need investigative reporters now more than ever. And as I said, Jane Mayer is one of them. The outfit ProPublica, ProPublica, is one of them. These are very good investigative journalistic outlets and reporters. Those are just two of them. Free Speech TV, that's freespeech.org. Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. Black Star Network, Roland Martin Unfiltered, Roland Martin. These are the kinds of people and companies you need to be consulted. The Associated Press, independent, by the way, is an independent news organization, highly regarded, highly respected. These are the places you need to go. Even the Wall Street Journal, which is owned by Mr. Murdoch. Oh, Mr. Murdoch. Oh, God. Everything in that paper is good except the editorial board, which is the most disgusting editorial board I can think of. Right-wing, fascist, and disgusting. And, of course, disgusting covers all of those things. And if you read the rest of the newspaper outside the editorial pages, the Wall Street Journal is actually one of the very best. So those are the media sources I would be consulting, among others. The Guardian also is good. I would also look at Reuters. Reuters is a corporate entity, but I think Reuters is pretty darn good. The Financial Times. I actually think that that's good too. These are just some of the places I would recommend you go for your news. People aren't watching cable news anymore. They're not. And that's why you're seeing what you're seeing in the news business now. You're seeing celebrities, the Gail Kings and the Charles Barkleys of the world, doing news or talking about it. That's why you're seeing people like Caitlin Collins, who was a reporter at the White House and actually did some good work, now doing the kind of stuff she does. You're seeing people who are venerable news reporters retiring. Obviously, you get older, you want to retire. You're seeing people, you know, like Jim Acosta, who actually is a good reporter at the White House in his day. He's now behind the anchor's desk. And that's really what the last stop is in the news anyway. And he does a good job there. But again, that's not very many people. And there's a few others. But what these networks are doing, they're hiring Republicans and sticking them on the air. Republicans who in previous iterations and previous administrations of the White House were shilling for some of the most disgusting people. Whether it was Nicole Wallace, who's now looked at as this voice of reason on MSNBC, whether it is Michael Steele, who is also now looked at as a voice of reason on MSNBC, whether it's a million people I can think of, I've just given you two of the million, who get hired at these networks now. And now they've become somehow the voice of sanity. But yet, one thing that's always missing on these networks is an anti-war voice, is a pro-democracy voice. And I'm not talking about Tim Snyder, who is a professor at Yale. I'm not talking about him. I wouldn't call him an anti-war voice. I might call him a pro-democracy voice, because I think he is. And read his book on tyranny, which I do highly recommend to you. And he'll come on every week or every few days on MSNBC, perhaps. But what I am talking about is a person who is on the news broadcasts, either as a pundit, oh God, punditry, oh my God, or as someone who is a permanent analyst who comes on and analyzes news or talks about being anti-war. And I meant to say pro-peace. I might have said pro-war voice. I hope I didn't. Pro-peace and pro-democracy. Anti-war. I think I did say anti-war. Anti-war and pro-democracy voices. You don't see those on MSNBC. And this joke that MSNBC is a liberal network is a bunch of nonsense. There's no pro-democracy voice on MSNBC. There's no anti-war voice on MSNBC. Where is it? It certainly isn't the head honchos who run that network, who own MSNBC, who own NBC, who own Comcast. They're not giving you anti-war voices on their networks. You don't find them on ABC, CBS, Fox News, forget it, CNN. Where's the anti-war voice? We have all these wars going on all over the country, or excuse me, all over the country, yeah, all over the world. You've got all these invasions. You've got the Palestinians being decimated in Gaza in a genocide. Humanitarian catastrophe there. You've got Israel storming away from the U.S. How dare you? How dare you? And they abstained in a vote yesterday in the United Nations, 14-0. In a symbolic vote, because it doesn't carry any weight whatsoever, 14-0 vote to have an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. And the bottom line is that Israel's still bombing in Gaza, still killing many Palestinians. I mean, there's over 30,000 Palestinians dead, 30,000 plus and counting dead Palestinian people. Where's the anti-war voice on all these networks to speak out? Where is it? There's barely any coverage of that genocide. Barely any. Where is the anti-war voice? Where's the pro-democracy voice that you're hearing on CNN, on Fox? But it's a gimmick. Jessica Tarloff is really good at what she does on Fox. And she is the resident, so-called resident liberal member, right? The Democrat that, or whomever, or the person who is just anti the fascism, right? And she sits on that panel, and everybody else is a fascist or a right winger, right? But it's all a gimmick. I mean, Jessica Tarloff is really good. She has a command of the facts. But I'm talking about someone who is an anti-war voice, an organizer. I'm talking about someone from the street who runs campaigns, runs rallies, is in an organization, fronts an organization, heads an organization, who is on these panels regularly as one of the people on them. You don't have that. And that's not a surprise as to why. Because you don't have it because of the simple fact is that the corporate networks and those running them are profiteers. They are war profiteers, and they are not going to put anti-war voices on. You think I'm just ranting here? You think this is a conspiracy theory? Go back to 2003 with Phil Donahue. Phil Donahue, who's someone who I would have definitely looked up to as a journalist back in the day, because I did. And he was a talk show host, but he also had a command of the facts. He wasn't an entertainer. He debated the issues with people like you and I. And the guy was an anti-war activist. He hosted a show on MSNBC. And he openly stated his anti-war views. He was against the invasion of Iraq. And his show was the highest rated show on MSNBC. Didn't stop them from yanking him off the air. Didn't stop MSNBC from firing him. He got fired. His show got taken off the air. General Electric, oh, mergers and all that. Well, we can't have an anti-war voice. We can't have an anti-war voice on there. Let's get rid. And that's exactly what they did. got rid of Phil Donahue. Phil Donahue, who's an institution in this country. Go look him up. Last name, D-O-N-A-H-U-E. Go look him up. Phil Donahue, P-H-I-L, first name. I've interviewed him. He did a film called Body of War, documentary. An anti-war film, by the way. And it was in response to what's going on in Iraq. The U.S. invasion, the illegal invasion of Iraq. Go and watch the old clips of Phil Donahue. That's what the news is supposed to be. That's what the news was. The debating of the news, right? The having guests on and speaking to them about what they were doing as newsmakers and educating people and informing people. That's what all of that was with Phil Donahue. He was a gateway into critical thinking. And he was someone that challenged people. We don't have that now. You're now being entertained. And so those publications, dear listener, that I read out to you a few short minutes ago, and those people, I strongly recommend to you, Urban View as well, on Sirius XM, channel 126. Listen to the hosts there, the Clay Canes, the Karen Hunters of the world. The late, great Joe Madison, whose archival work is still being heard on Sirius XM channel 126, The Urban View. These are people who you can actually learn information from and learn the news from and have critical thinking around. Very, very good journalists and people who really do an excellent job. So that's what I think our approach should be on the news, dear listener. I think, look, while there are some good journalists on some of these corporate networks, it's these news shows that overrun everything. These pundit shows, opinion-based. Even people like Rachel Maddow, who I think has done good work. You know, the bottom line is, and she's done some long, lengthy pieces that I think are good. But it's all opinion. A lot of the stuff, though, is also opinion. It's not just Rachel. It's a load of people. She doesn't even do a show every day now. Now, she has other commitments, don't get me wrong. But I'm telling you now, this is what the news is. You don't have the traditional headline news anymore. Remember that in the 80s and 90s, where if you're in the United States, you'd remember it. And if you're a certain age, you'd remember it. Where it would be nothing but news. Given to you, shown to you. And then you think about the news. Then there'd be, you know, occasional interviews. But that's what the news was. We don't have that anymore. It's about people around the desk talking about the news. That's what the news has become. That's what a lot of the journalism has become in the United States. And those outlets I gave you earlier are alternatives, stronger and better ones than the ones that you have stuck in front of you on your TV that most of you probably do not watch anymore. So when you have all this noise and all these people talking around a table, it allows for the orange traitor to come in and just sit there shamelessly and lie. And tell you that these outlets are dirt, but conflate things that may have a grain of truth in them and then put a lie around it. These people, these journalists and these networks are not the enemies of the people. What they are is depriving people of a full and honest accounting of what the news should be. And what the news is. That's really where we are. And when you genuflect to dictators, and when you don't push back on liars, whether it be Elise Stefanik or Ronna McDaniel or anyone else, the Orange Traitor or anyone else, you have degraded yourself as an organization, and you no longer can be trusted as a credible journalistic outfit. When you skirt the laws of ethics every day journalistically through your bosses or through someone on the air. When I come back, voting. Oh, yes. The importance of that, I'll be talking about it all right after this.
Another member of Congress resigned today. So now I'll be told, Chip, we only have a one-seat majority or two-seat majority. I don't even know what it is anymore. Let me ask you a question. Does it matter? In 2018, we had the House, we had the Senate, we had the White House, and we had a bigger majority than we have today, and we utterly failed to secure the border. Totally dropped the ball. Didn't do it.
We have nothing, in my opinion, we have nothing to go out there and campaign on, Chris. It's embarrassing.
Right? Well, I know. The Republican Party and the Congressional majority has zero accomplishments. Now, of course,
this place just keeps going downhill, and I don't need to spend my time here. We've taken impeachment and we've made it a social media issue as opposed to a constitutional concept. Mike Johnson's ability to talk me into staying here is going to be about as successful as his ability into talking me into unconstitutional impeachments.
Republican voters across the country are sick and tired of Republicans because they never do anything.
Joe Biden and the Democrats for why the Republican-controlled House of Representatives hasn't passed single-subject spending bills.
One thing! I want my Republican colleagues to give me one thing, one, that I can go campaign on and say we did. One!
2024 is Donald Trump. If he's the candidate, it's very scary.
A few moments later.
Joe Biden had the largest public investment in social infrastructure and environmental programs that is actually finishing what FDR started, that LBJ expanded on, and Joe Biden is attempting to complete programs to address education, medical care, urban problems, rural poverty, transportation, Medicare, Medicaid, labor unions. And he still is working on it.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
Dear listener, welcome back. And so I want to finish off here on this episode, and I hope you are well once again. You are listening to the Political Riot Daily Podcast. Omar Moore here, yours truly. Thank you very much indeed for your time. Voting, of course, is the important thing. This is the weapon we have. This is the tool that we have. And while we still have it here in the United States, we must use it. We cannot be so cavalier and so aloof about it. We need to educate each other, and we need to educate lots of people who seem to think, some people at least, seem to think that sitting at home this November is going to be the best solution for them. People become so understandably disillusioned and disaffected and discarded that they feel that their only power is to just withdraw completely from the political process. And that is what those who control things in this country and this world want you to do. Because the less of us or the less of you that take any part in voting, in the political process at large, the more control they will continue to have, and the control that they have will be everlasting. But if you vote, if you participate in the political process, if you spend any time advocating, if you spend any time educating, if you spend any time researching, if you spend any time organizing, you are part of a process, and you are going to be engaged in a country, and you're going to be engaged in the future of it, your future in it, your family's future, your kids, future generations. And so it's very important to stay involved and educate people who think that there's no reason for them to stay involved or to get involved in the first place. There are lots of people who feel disaffected and think that politicians are this and that. And yes, there are politicians who can be this and that. But the problem is that politics is the thing that governs every part of your life, every part of the disaffected person's life as well. And if that person decides to disengage, well, you've basically given someone else the power to decide your fate. And really, that's not wise. And what we have to do is tell those who are disaffected why it's important for them to vote. We have to listen to them first and foremost as to why they're feeling disaffected or why they are disaffected. And then you have to start also explaining and talking about the ways to resolve and meet that disaffectation with some active and proactive solutions. That's the road to that. It really is. And it does involve a lot of listening, not lecturing, listening. And the Democrats need to do more of this. They need to listen and take account of why people are feeling the way they are. Because I talked about feelings earlier. But you have to also, once you've listened, explain what you've done and how significant it is and why engagement is important. You have to really look at how government works. I'll be talking about that in the next few days. Very important. Very important. The website you want, dear listener, to check your voter registration is vote.org. Let me give you that again. Vote.org. VOTE.org. That website is a website where you can check your voter registration. You can also register to vote on that website. And you can find out what your voting, what the laws are and the rules are in your state when it comes to voting. This is a really important website. I would pass it along to your friends. And I would strongly recommend that you tell your friends to check their voter registration or register to vote if they haven't already done so. And familiarize themselves with the rules in their state, the voting rules, and what you need to bring, whether you need to bring an ID or not, all of those things. And if you have already registered to vote, what I want you to do, dear listener, is go on vote.org and check your voter registration and also tell your friends to do the same. Because if there is something wrong with your voter registration, now that it's still March, you can still do something about it. But if you wait and wait and wait and you are in October and you find that your voter registration has something wrong with it or some issue with it that may not allow you to vote for the November 5th election this year in 2024, you have very little time to get that rectified. And if it takes weeks for that to get changed, you may not be able to have that fixed in time for the November election. So that is why now in March is a really good time to be looking at all this information on vote.org. And that means check your voter registration or register to vote. Make sure everything is in line and in order and that you are sufficiently and properly registered. There's a quick way to find out how to do that. It's very self-explanatory on the website. It literally will take you a minute to do this, to register to vote or to check your voter registration, which might be even less than a minute in terms of checking your voter registration. But please do this and please don't just keep it to yourself. Spread the word about this website, vote.org, and tell your friends and family to check their voter registration or to register to vote. And also have a plan to register to vote. Find out if your vote is, if your state is an early voting state. Those are the kinds of things I would strongly recommend to you. You can follow along on X at the Popcorn REEL, of course, and numerous other podcasting platforms for this podcast. Of course, also on social media. Let me get back to that. Fanbase is the place. Fanbase. I'll be giving away, by the way, Beyonce's new album. And you must go to Fanbase. Fanbase.app. That's fanbase.app/popcornREEL. Fanbase. FANBASE.APP /popcornREEL. Go there. Follow me there, please. And look at the, you'll see a photo of Beyonce on a horse, right? You need to go to that photo on my page on Fanbase, fanbase.app/popcornREEL. You need to go there and you need to follow the instructions there to have a chance to win one copy of the album, brand new album that Beyonce has. coming out this Friday. I can't wait to give this away. So please, please, please make sure that you get involved there as well. Thank you very much for listening to this edition of The Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore.